Welcome all. Time to call the meeting of the Planning Commission, June 7, 2016, to order. Commissioner Whitmore, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Sloan?
Here.
Commissioner Whitmore?
Here.
Commissioner Martinez?
Here.
Commissioners Broadway and McKenzie are excused tonight.
Thank you. Okay, item four on the agenda, minutes. We don't have any included with our materials this evening. Any? I'm sorry, I'll speak into the microphone. Correspondence, item number five, any additional correspondence from staff?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Item six, at this point, citizens addressing the commission on non-agenda items. So if there's something that's not on tonight's agenda that you want to address the Planning Commission with, feel free to come up. Yes, there's a little button there to see if it's red.
It is.
Okay, then you're good. Speak.
You can hear me okay? My name is Glenda Couch Carlberg. My husband Colin and I have owned our property at 808 Cali Place in the Claremont Estates subdivision since April 2011. We believe the term open space, as used by agencies including the City of Rockland, is misleading and potentially causing harm to the citizenry. Our home is directly adjacent to designated open space. In our case, the open space is also a wetland preserve with a beautiful seasonal creek. Our primary living areas in our home face the open space. Because our property line is only 15 feet from our back door, it is specifically because of the open space wetland preserve designations that we bought our property. Imagine our surprise and alarm when we came home Saturday afternoon, May 21st, to find construction stakes dotting the open space preserve. It was after those stakes appeared that we and our neighbors received a letter and basic schematic from Eric Anderson, representing Whitney Ranch Sunset Ranchos LLC, saying they would be constructing drainage improvements late May through September. Not one wet neighbor recalls having received any notice of public hearing regarding the four drainage basins abutting Claremont subdivision. We hosted a neighborhood meeting May 24th and invited Mr. Anderson. We learned that our property directly abuts site number 2, basin 13, in area 35 of the Whitney Ranch project. Construction excavation started May 31st. The edge of the drainage basin begins just 15 feet from our property line. In conflict with what Mr. Anderson told us, heavy equipment is accessing the site over the Hillcrest and Oak Tree routes, not on the pre-designated temporary haul roadways shown in the permitting plans. At least 2 trees have been cut down, others damaged so badly they'll certainly not survive. The old fallen oak tree, a favored habitat for our active wildlife, was one of the first things they destroyed when they moved in with their heavy equipment, although he said it wouldn't be touched unless required by the fire marshal. The basin isn't formed by a gentle grade into the existing landscape. Instead, it spans the width of our property and our neighbors and cuts deep into the space. It appears to be approximately 20 to 25 feet deep. Lee Fisher of the Army Corps of Engineers confirmed that they issued a permit August 21, 2012, for the discharge of fill and modification of the wetlands and ephemeral drainage behind your property. She reiterated that the property is designated as open space and is currently not proposed for development. When we asked Lee to define development, she said, quote, houses or other impervious surface. The area behind your backyard is designated as open space on the development plans. I spoke with Rick Lawrence in the city's Public Works Department over a year ago to get clarification about our easements and about the Whitney Ranch project. He also emphasized that the area was designated open space. Rockland's own open space documents state, open space preserves are established during the development of certain subdivisions to protect sensitive wetland, oak woodland, and grassland habitat. Those same documents outline restrictions intended to protect those spaces, none of which suggest that a project of this significance could occur. We respectfully request that the Planning Commission direct city staff to review the use of the term open space and how to more transparently convey that information to the citizenry. We respectfully request that the Planning Commission direct the city staff to review the outdated EIR driving the Whitney Ranch project with an eye toward updating it based on current data. The original EIR 2002-230 was amended by addendum 2008-252 and has not been revisited since, 8 years ago. Our realtors informed us that this project has directly and negatively affected our property value. We respectfully request the city take a proactive, not reactive, role toward mitigating the damage done to this now deeply scarred open space by requiring the developer to plant native plants and oak trees in the immediate area and by selecting a hydroseeding formula that will truly help restore the former beauty of the area. We invite each one of you to, at your earliest convenience, to personally look at the area that will apparently continue to be designated open space. Thank you. And I brought pictures of this is what it was, and this is what we're at.
Thank you. Can you bring those up, please?
I'd be happy to.
Is it drainage that's being improved with it?
Why don't you give the copies of what you presented to the clerk? That way we have the written documents with the photos, okay? For what you...
Mark, you have something you want to add?
Just that your staff is aware, we did receive an email from, I believe it was Mr. Carlberg. We reviewed the materials in terms of the original approvals, and everything appeared to me to be in order in terms of the original approvals. We also reviewed their request, Mr. Carlberg, suggesting about trying to add a greater degree of clarity or transparency in terms of the definition of open space. And while it may not be necessary per se, we don't see a harm in trying to do that. And so... We had some preliminary conversation with the city attorney's office and talking about, you know, what would that look like and how would we do that. And so when the city manager returns to the office later this week, I'll probably have a conversation with him about it. And then over the next month or so, probably be working on, you know, what kind of language, what form would that take? And then with regards to this specific project, our city engineer is here, and I'm sure that as that project continues to progress, staff will, you know, take a look at it, make sure that it's progressing according to what was approved and permitted. I know there were some discussions from the developer about trying to modify perhaps either their construction schedule a little bit, perhaps modifying and not working on weekends, and then also perhaps adding some additional landscaping. I don't know that they're under any obligation to do so, but they, I think, had indicated a willingness to consider that approach. And so I'm sure we'll follow up and have some conversations with them as well. From my perspective, and I'm only one voice, and I know city attorney, and you may feel differently, I would say this is really an issue at this point in time for city staff to examine and monitor, sort of from an enforcement perspective, make sure they're meeting the obligations. We're happy to report back to you our findings. We're happy to continue to stay in dialogue with the Carlbergs. I don't see this anything beyond this at this point in time.
Just from my perspective, is just the thought that occurs to me is the activities that are going out there consistent with the approved plans, agencies, mitigation measures, et cetera. And if so, then I would agree that it's a continuing effort with staff and the applicant probably to try to address some concerns from the local residents as well. And at least from my perspective, and I don't know if we need any formal commission action, but some kind of update would be helpful, and whether reevaluating the definition of open space, SPAS perspective on kind of that review in relation to this incident and maybe how that might apply citywide would be probably helpful and prudent. So I don't know if the commissioners have any other comments.
No, I think that sounds reasonable, and I just wanted to thank you for coming forward. Very thoughtful presentation, so thank you for your time.
Okay. Do we need any formal action?
So I think if you're satisfied with staff's position and staff, the direction that staff is going to be taking, I think that's adequate. And
okay. Okay. Okay, so thank you very much for making us aware of that, and staff will continue to monitor the situation and work with the developers and yourselves to.
So do we continue conversation with the planning?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other citizens wanting to address an item that's not on the agenda tonight? Okay. Seeing none. Consent items, we have none on the agenda this evening, so we'll open the public, or rather move to public hearing item number 7, South Whitney Mixed Use Townhomes and Medical Center, General Plan Amendment GPA 2014-001, Rezone Z2014-0009, General Development Plan PDG 2015-0005, Tentative Parcel Map, DL 2015-0001. Design Review, DR 2014-0016. And Oak Tree Preservation Plan Permit, TRE 2015-009. Staff presentation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Commissioners. The project for your consideration this evening is a horizontal mixed-use project requesting approval of several entitlements, as you mentioned. I'll go into a bit more detail. A general plan amendment would change a portion of the existing parcel from retail commercial, or RC, to high density residential, initials HDR, and from RC to, again, retail commercial, to recreation conservation, which is noted as an R-C. The rezone would change portions of the existing parcel from retail business, or C2, to planned development residential, also known as PDR, and from C2 to open area, or OA. A general development plan would establish allowed uses and development standards in the PDR zone. The tentative parcel map is to subdivide the approximately 2.81 gross acre parcel into two lots. A design review to approve the design of four multifamily townhome buildings totaling approximately 47,104 square feet, and an office building of approximately 7,855 square feet, along with the associated site design, parking, and landscaping. Finally, an oak tree preservation permit would allow the removal of up to 22 oak trees and provide protection for 29 on-site trees that are to remain and one off-site tree that is to be protected. Staff analyzed the project relative to CEQA and prepared a mitigated negative declaration for the project. The required mitigations have been incorporated as conditions of approval for the project. The site is generally located on the southerly side of South Whitney Boulevard between Sunset Boulevard and Bryce Way. Across from South Whitney Boulevard is the site of Sunset Hills Townhomes, approved by City Council in June of 2015. This project is considered an extension of that project. The architecture of the townhomes is the same, and many of the site amenities are similar. The property is currently general plan designated retail commercial and is zoned C2, which is retail business. To allow for the townhomes, the project proposes to change the westerly portion of the existing property to high density residential and PDR. This exhibit is for the general plan amendment. Also shows the approximate proposed property line. This is the rezone map. And with the rezone, a general development plan is proposed to establish the uses and development standards for the new PDR zone. The project is compliant with the proposed densities, uses, development standards, and parking of the proposed general plan amendment, rezone, and general development plan, as well as the zoning ordinance. The tentative parcel map would subdivide the property into two parcels with the property line corresponding to the zone boundary between the PDR and C2 zones. Open space and conservation easements are required to be recorded over those areas of the proposed parcels that are within the riparian habitat boundary and the 50-foot top of bank setback. At a later date, the applicant intends to further subdivide the project to convert the townhomes into 20 residential condominiums and create 5 commercial condominiums in the commercial building. The project is laid out with the 4 townhome buildings on the westerly portion of the site, adjacent to the existing single-family residences on Zion Court and duplexes on South Whitney Boulevard. And the commercial building is on the easterly portion of the site, adjacent to existing commercial. As mentioned, 22 oaks are identified to be removed to accommodate the project. 29 oaks will be retained and protected within the open space and conservation easement areas of each parcel. And finally, 1 off-site oak tree has been identified, and the project conditions require it to be protected during construction. Proposed landscaping includes a mix of ground cover, shrubs, and trees, similar to Sunset Hills townhomes. The 2 project entries for this project have enhanced corner treatments. Due to the site constraints on the easterly portion of the site around the commercial building, adequate parking lot shade is not provided for spaces 1 through 10. However, staff will work with the applicant during plan check to require the appropriate shade trees to the extent feasible given the project layout. The project's monument signs are consistent with the sign ordinance and design review guidelines. Building-mounted signs for the commercial building are proposed as non-illuminated panels with optional gooseneck external lighting. Staff has included a draft condition that would allow tenants the opportunity to have internally illuminated individual letter signs that are consistent with the sign ordinance and sign design guidelines. This slide shows just the monument signs. This slide shows renderings of the townhomes. The townhome architecture is identical to that approved with Sunset Hills townhomes. The architecture combines a mix of hardy plank, vertical panel, and shingle siding in neutral colors with white accent elements, including the railing and vinyl windows. 2 building types are proposed. Building D, shown here, is a 6-unit townhome. These 2 units townhomes are fronting along South Whitney Boulevard. And Building F, which are 4-unit townhomes, are those that are on the interior of the site. This slide shows renderings of the proposed commercial building. Its architecture is compatible with the townhome architecture, using a mix of stucco in creams and tans, with brick and metal storefront and window systems, accented with wall tiles, metal awnings, and optional gooseneck lighting, as mentioned. Staff has found the proposed townhome and commercial architecture, signage, lighting, and landscaping to be consistent with the design review guidelines. May I answer any questions at this time?
Any questions from commissioners? Well, I got a few questions. Let's see. The staff report mentions the northerly driveway is limited to left in and left out. Is that supposed to be right in and right out?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay. So the southerly driveway, it looks like there's left turn pockets once the median improvements occur, but it'll still allow for kind of full movements in the intersection across the street from the other development as well?
That's correct. It will line up with the driveway on the opposite side, so it'll be full movement at that intersection.
Stop sign controlled for the within the project?
Correct.
And through traffic
on
the street?
Not on South Whitney.
No. Okay. With respect to the retaining walls, Derek, can you, I know there's a cross section in the exhibit somewhere, but help me understand the relationship between the residents on the south side of the project and the south side of the project. I mean, that property line, I think there's a retaining wall of 3 to 6 feet. Is that correct?
That's correct. As shown in the sections, which I didn't present with my oral presentation, but I can bring up if you'd like to see them, a 4-foot retaining wall is shown as the maximum height in that southeasterly corner adjacent to the home on Zion Court.
Can you bring it up,
mm-hmm.
please?
Just one Thanks. Minute. I'll take this off just so you sure. don't have to watch me flip. So these are the sections that the applicant provided.
So is the tall, thin tree shown on the project site, is what's illustrated there consistent with the landscaping proposed?
That's a good question. Let's take a look at that.
And I don't know if there's existing trees on the single family side. They're showing those, but I'm just getting at a little bit of, you know, privacy concerns. So.
They are showing a line of trees along that southeastern property line. Let me see if I can not flip around here too much. Actually, just a couple more flips, I'll get to the landscaping plan. So shows the trees right along here that will provide additional screening for the townhome buildings. On the following page, those trees are identified as... Looks like those are incense cedars. So I would say this section is accurately representing those.
Incense cedars, and the other ones to the south are something like maybe Colomar flowering pear. I guess, you know,
like, yeah,
I didn't have
like
a chance to look them up and see what kind of how they grow, but just concern again, making sure there's adequate, you know, a tree type that's proposed that's, you know, fast growing and provides good screening.
We could certainly add that language to the conditions.
Okay. Another item I had was on page 12 in the discussion about the oak trees and the applicant's desire to possibly plant some oaks in the open area and temporary irrigation. Is temporary irrigation allowed in that open space area? It is
allowed if it's for mitigation trees. It's to establish those mitigation trees. It's typically only there for 3 to 5 years to get the trees to establish, and then it's removed, which
okay.
is why it's temporary. It's just to irrigate the plantings, not to irrigate anything else.
Okay. And then on that same page with respect to recreation facilities, it states that this development will have access to the amenities to the development across the street. And I'm just curious if staff put any thought into kind of the practicality of that. I'm guessing the nearest crosswalk's going to be at Sunset and South Whitney, you know, just to use picnic areas, pools, et cetera. Was there any discussion about, and I know this is a tight site, you know, with limited space, but Any concern about the use of the residents going over there, or this development having its own amenities beyond the gazebo structure that's been proposed?
Well, I think we went into it with the understanding that it was a companion project to Sunset Hills. I think that was the intention from the beginning.
Okay.
Typically, a project of this size with only 20 units wouldn't necessarily have its own amenities.
Okay.
So we felt like if it did tie into the Sunset Hills projects, that was actually a bonus that we wouldn't normally get for 20 units.
Okay. And the last question I just had is the trash enclosures serving the residential portion of the project back up to the single-family homes. Again, I understand it's a tight spot. Was there any consideration for them being located anywhere else?
We didn't ask the applicant that because the site is so tight. We did go through a few iterations of requiring other site design changes, trying to work in the LID and make sure there was enough parking. It's possible that there might be some room to make those changes. Since those trash enclosures are fully enclosed and have roofs on them, they're just toter storage rather than having the toters in the garages. We felt like it wouldn't be such an impact. The Recology garbage trucks aren't backing up to those enclosures and dumping bins.
Okay.
Those are just toter storage for the residential. The residences will need to remove the toters from those fully enclosed buildings and place them out in the driveway for pickup.
Okay. Great. Okay, that's all I had.
I do have one question.
Sure.
Here. Since this is a rezone and we're looking at a high-density residential in this particular area, does this count towards any of our RENA numbers as far as potential for meeting those requirements citywide?
Hi, Laura Webster, Economic and Community Development. It is not identified as a site because we're considering a rezone, so it's not on our current inventory. And whether or not it can count toward our RENA numbers will depend on either the rental or sale prices that are ultimately established. So when the project's constructed, we'll obtain that information from the developer, and if it counts, we'll count it, and if it doesn't, we can't.
What's the likelihood, Laura, that you think that that would apply?
Our moderate numbers are fairly high because we have high incomes in Placer County as a whole for median income. So there have been some market rate projects coming online, such as Garnet Creek, where Cressley's building on Granite Drive. Their apartment units are actually meeting the moderate category, although they have a lot of amenities and are a good quality development. So it's possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Just kind of piggybacking on that, are these for sale units as far as we know? Or is that an applicant question?
They won't be for sale unless and until a condominium map is recorded.
Okay. Laura, do you know what the sales price for a moderate income family would be?
You're asking off the top of my head here,
roughly.
So I'm going from memory, but roughly in the 370s to 430s.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Any other questions from commissioners? No. You'll have an opportunity in just a moment. If there's a representative from the applicant who would like to make any comments.
My name is Gil Lee. Thank you for the opportunity for presenting this South Whitney project today. I came here to add a few slides which planning department didn't have after talking to some of the commissioners. I'd like to show that slide showing that we did the homework. Is this next? Is this right side?
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, so this map, basically, why... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. So I turned off the speaker. I have two. I forgot the one of them. Okay, go on. Maybe just an original thought about why residential and commercial change to residential. We have a residential neighbors on the left side of this diagram, and after taking off this creekside open space, the middle area is crunched. There's no way to locate any building, so the building will be on both sides. And the original zoning is commercial. That means commercial building is right next to the neighbor residential building. We thought that may not be a good idea, so we kind of try to design the residential. And since we have the another townhomes, we brought that in and fits four buildings. So that's the reason we thought this may work very well, because separation between commercial and residential, the middle areas, that the narrow area can be the parking. So that's why we came up with this layout. And it does seem to fit very well. This is one of the slides we prepared. This is the perspective from street side, how the commercial building look like. This is the rendering. And this is a bird's view of the residential townhomes, 20 unit total, so four plex on the back and six plex on the front. And this is another homework we did. One of the questions was how it looked like from the street and the perspective. We created this hand sketch. This is the way it should look like from the street across the South Whitney. So you have a 2-6 plex in front, and you kind of see the tip of the four plex in the behind. So this is the rendered building pictures. Okay, so this is more details and traffic. You ask about right in, right out kind of things. And we pay attention to the separation. Even if it's a residential, existing neighborhood, there should be some trees and concrete wall so that there is a physical separation as well as visual separations. I walk around there, and there are existing tall trees already growing there. So I don't feel it's really critical to wait for those new trees to grow up, because it's already blocking quite a view. It's the houses are there for a long time, and trees are already very tall. And when I look up and said, it's totally covering up the house view. So regardless, I think we feel obligated to have some kind of cedar trees, which is a fast-growing, tall trees, and that's going to add on to the view separation. Okay, that's all we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the commissioner?
Any question?
I do have a couple of questions. So the materials between sort of the commercial area and the residential area, I know there's some differences between those materials, but maybe can you talk about the thought process behind sort of the vocabulary between one versus the other?
Vocabulary.
Right, architectural vocabulary.
Well, yeah, we prepare another homework here, is the material board. So maybe I call for the expert architect who can speak more about the material here.
Okay. Hello, my name is Gordon Wong. I'm the architect on the project, and we took quite a look at all the different materials that we felt would really fit the context, as well as the Rockland, what we saw. We saw the lap siding, the pickets above the porches, on the previous, and we also spoke to quite a few different like realty broker, bankers, neighborhood, and try to figure out what it is that the market's looking for in terms of durability, look, what works in the market, and we're trying to present a lower density medical office, and it has some kind of a presence that they would feel like, oh, I'd like to run my business in here, dental practice, medical practice, psychiatry, something of a lower intensity. So we try to use materials that would work well with blending in with the oak trees and the surrounding context, which brought about stucco with some urban earth tones for tile and a metal awning to bring presence and be an inviting area with a courtyard in the middle. So hopefully that will bring kind of like the business together if there are multiple practices, maybe like a group of dentists want to come in, and the courtyard kind of help bring the business and support what's going on there. Yeah. Any further questions of...
So the materials on the townhomes, is that essentially a cookie cutter of what was approved across the street some time ago?
It is in a way, but at the same time, the one across the street was the hillside. This one's a flat ground, so we're going to do the slab-on-grade thing and try to copy what's over there and try to reflect and make it feel like one community.
But as far as like the shingle roofs, the use of the colors, the materials, that sort of thing are consistent?
Yeah. When we put together our color schedule and our roof material schedule, we have three types of roofs that we can kind of move around with. And there were two shingle types, triple ply comp, and one standing seam metal. So we had different options to get some variation in there. As well as the color scheme, there was about a dozen different hardy panels and lap siding we could choose. We could swap the colors, but it had a color schedule that we could use for the full color, the trim, and the little highlights of the building.
Okay, so well, across the street you had a combination of
yeah.
metal panel and or comp shingle. Here we're proposing comp shingle for simply the residential, and then it looks like a metal panel for the retail commercial. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, no further questions. So at this time, we open it up for public comment or questions. If you would like to approach and give us your name and...
Oh, well, I'm Janet Carreri.
Can you approach and thank you.
I really just wanted to find out how close... Yes. Can you speak into the microphone? How close the... all right, the Zion Court right there, how close will that be from her line... What am I trying to say?
The property line?
From the property line.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we have that cross-section, Derek, that
does it say?
Calls it out. One minute, and she'll bring it up, and then we can see the dimension.
So it sounds like you're interested in the distance from the building, the proposed building, to the back property line of the residential. Okay.
And also, if any of the dirt or place will probably have to be leveled, of course, and so if there's going to be dirt pushed back that way and to make kind of a slope, will it be a lot of when the rain comes and stuff? We don't want it to flood our property.
Drainage question. Let's address your first question.
Okay.
There's an exhibit there that calls out. I don't know if you can zoom that in a little. Dare, are you able to do that?
And what is that?
So that top exhibit, or it shows where the building is, and then there's a dimension. I think it says 22 feet to your building, or not to your building, to the house, and about 11 feet 9, I think.
9 inches, yeah.
To
the property
line.
What is it?
11 feet 9 inches.
Yeah, that's, I think, for the home that's on South Whitney Boulevard, not on Zion Court.
There's two.
No, it'd be the one in the back. With the swimming pool, which doesn't show on here, but it shows in some of your other pictures.
So this is the one next to Zion Court. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, this says 5835 Zion Court.
45.
45? Okay. I don't know if we have that.
45. Yeah.
So it's 35 next door? Yes. Is that north or south of you?
It looks like that building is going to be...
Some of your pictures show it. with the swimming pool.
Maybe the west. I think the applicant has maybe a.
Oh, sure.
Can you come up to the microphone, please?
So the cross section on the lower one is showing 20 feet 1 inches, but I believe your house is one of the pool which is further back, which is more than double 20 feet 1. It's very far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have a question, though. Actually, it's a good point to get brought up. If we could slide this back down again, and this is a question for the architect. The 11-foot, 9-inch separation between the property line there, how did you deal from a fire safety standpoint with that?
Yeah, so we knew that the minimum was the 10 feet, and to make sure they get the building separation far enough, and we got a 22-footer. We definitely wanted to address any sound issues or whatever, so we put the CMU block wall to make sure that there's a good separation between there and the block walls within the property line of where we're developing, and we set it back a little bit.
So the separation from a fire life safety standpoint was 10
yeah.
feet from the property line,
yeah.
and then any openings within the building were allowed beyond that 10
yeah.
feet?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
We put a little extra there for contingency or tolerance.
Sure.
Okay. Is that it for questions from the public? And we'll bring it back to commissioners. Any comments?
Maybe I can just start out here. And I will say for the record, I did have ex parte communication with the applicant, had reached out to me and asked if I had any questions. I met with them and had reviewed some of the architecture prior. I didn't make any decisions certainly ahead of this meeting, but I did have some questions for them at that time about kind of the, I'll say, differences between the design of some of the retail commercial. You know, I was hoping to kind of see some consistency, I'll say, between maybe some of the materials. And I'll just throw it out there to the other commissioners. I'm not sure that we've achieved that. I mean, we've got kind of two separate things between the retail commercial and the townhomes. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, some people may see that as necessarily a positive. But that was something that I wanted to kind of see tonight, and hence the reason that I asked the questions with respect to some of the materials was, you know, there is kind of a different palette across the street where there was some use of some metal roofing and that sort of thing. Do we want to suggest bringing some of that into some of the townhomes to make that maybe more consistent with some of the commercial that it's near to? The other thing I will say, I'm generally supportive of the idea of the rezone. I think this natural progression of retail commercial to high density residential to then kind of a lower density or medium density, whatever it ends up being, residential that exists there on Zion Court and South Whitney Boulevard. The one thing I'm a little concerned about is just the height of the buildings, especially Building F. Is that sort of the long part of the building that's facing those residential units. I like the fact that we've got quite a bit of distance from where the homes are actually built, but I do think there may be some discussion that ensues about the plant material or those kinds of things on this property side just to help, I think, screen that, because we're talking about a three-story building that's, you know, within 20 feet of that property line. This is going to be looking down into those backyards. So the privacy, certainly, of those backyards is going to be compromised by having this building there. Maybe not as much if we weren't looking at the rezone, if this was a single-story commercial. But I do believe the compatibility makes more sense with having the high-density residential there in lieu of, let's say, retail commercial. So just a couple of things I wanted to kind of throw out there. I don't know if there's any, you know, similar concerns or similar kinds of things that the other commissioners picked up on, but from my perspective, those were the things that I kind of cued into.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. I also met with the applicant and had ex parte communications with them. No commitments were made, and I had similar concerns that I felt like were addressed tonight. One being the location of the trash enclosures, which I felt was adequately addressed. The lighting adjacent to the residences and how that might spill over to the single-family residences nearby. I felt like the applicant addressed that with lower-level lighting. and then, of course, the visual screening. And I think, you know, I think I would like to know more information on the types of trees that are planted there adjacent to the wall, what their heights might be, and get a feel for, you know, what that view shed is from the third floor down into the backyards of the couple of homes that are, you know, directly back up to the development. So I don't know what kind of information we might have available for that, but I think that would be valuable.
I guess I had probably expressed some of my concerns initially through the questions that I had in that adjacency. But generally speaking, you know, it is commercially zoned now, so we could have a more intense development on the site at some time in the future, and perhaps even by right, except for the design review that we would have. I think it's a good transition from single family to, you know, this higher density product than to commercial on the corner. And did express some of the same concerns of adjacency. I would be fine with maybe condition language to just revisit if it, not knowing, you know, my plant and tree species very well, that ensuring that it's a fast growing full type of tree in the interests of privacy. With respect to design, materials, colors, I really like what's being proposed. You know, unless, you know, Commissioner Whitmore, you had some specific architectural design elements that you might want to run by the commission. At least what's being proposed, I kind of see this as an infill development. Looks, at least the residential component has kind of a modern feel to it. I think it looks really neat. The renderings look great with the oak trees in the open space behind. It just feels like a nice, cozy little place tucked in there. I think it can be really neat. So I really like how it's being proposed. I think the rezoning would be consistent with our general plan and zoning ordinance as proposed. So, you know, with that, unless you had a little bit more understanding that you wanted from staff on the plant species, or Commissioner Whitmore, if you wanted to just discuss any more specifics on, you know, design and what have you, you know, I would entertain a motion otherwise.
Yeah, I agree with maybe conditioning the project with some sort of plant species that we know is going to work well, be compatible in that area, and be fast growing. I'm not necessarily familiar with the species that's identified there, the flowering pear more so than the cedar. I mean, my sense would be that it's a evergreen tree of some kind, which would indicate that it probably is a little faster growing than a deciduous tree and maybe be a little bit more solid, which would make sense. But I think we'd want to confirm that and maybe give staff the authority to work with the applicant to kind of perfect that as we move forward. You know, maybe with respect to the architecture, sort of cueing into what you had to say, Commissioner Martinez, which is there's sort of a village feel, which is kind of nice. You know, there's sort of these, you know, stepping in and out, especially with the retail center. I understand there may have even been some work with staff to kind of massage those areas on the end so that they have some pitch roofs instead of all flat roofs, which I think is different than what we see in the aerial view, which I think is good. With the residences, we still have some of that, which I think is great, and I do like kind of the more modern, contemporary feel. But could we borrow from what was already approved across the street, where we also integrate the potential for some metal panel roofs to kind of give that a little bit more diversity, if you will, amongst those four buildings? That would, I think, further enhance sort of that village sort of look or appeal. And I'll, you know, I can suggest that maybe the applicant weigh in on that to kind of see, is that something that would be acceptable, or are we totally off base with with the idea of trying to make it more diverse?
Yeah, go ahead and let us know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, absolutely. With the metal panel roof is a high chance, high possibility. It's just depending on the cost of the material. My team will definitely look into that to see if we can find a cost-effective way to do that with the client. And we do like the metal panel. We looked quite a few brands up. We just got to see if what we've designed there. And we put minimal undulations in the roof, so I think it is possible. Yeah, anything with the materials we're going to look into. I did put a good amount of effort into trying to figure out how to get the commercial side to a matching exterior product. And what I found out was this. With the Hardy panel, I spoke to a couple of vendors and contractors, and it would be pretty costly to cut the panels to the right size to fit that shape of the building. And it's not due to the design, but the actual shape of the land, the way it's kind of squeezed and pinched in that corner, with respects to the OA and the oak trees. So we realized that wood frame and a stucco exterior was probably what would work best with the shape of the building, whereas if we were to put the Hardy panels, we'd be cutting a lot of extra material and causing maybe an excess amount of waste because of the shape of the building. Mm-hmm. So that's really what kind of tied us in there. I tried to take a look, see if it was possible that in terms of cost material, that's where it came out to.
Yeah, so I think sort of saying that the you know, whether it be cost or material restrictions that the commercial area sort of set.
Even like,
is there anything we can do with the residential side to kind of, you know, give it and might, you know, what I cued into when you were talking was that across the street we did approve, I don't know about the final manifestation of how it's built, but a couple of different roofing types, it sounds like, to give some diversity of the product across the street. This wants, I think, to be very similar to that. They're the same architectural style, same architecture. Would we want to also, you know, give you guys the flexibility to also consider that as well on this side of the street?
Highly beneficial, because if the oak trees are still there and the leaves drop, it'd be better to be on the metal panel roof and slide off than a comp roof.
Yeah, and I think it's a more durable, more, permanent sort of material as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
Okay. Any other comments, Commissioner Sloan? No. Well, with that, I would entertain a motion.
So I can make a motion. I'll make a motion. We'll take them all at the same time. Is that okay? I'll make a motion to approve the resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland recommending approval of a mitigated neg deck of environmental impacts, South Whitney Mixed-Use Townhomes and Medical Center, GPA 2015-0001, Z2014-0009, PDG 2015-0005, DL 2015-0001, DR 2014-0016, and TRE 2015-0009.
I guess I would just add, perhaps in the design review, I don't know, Commissioner Whitmore, some condition to contemplate what you just discussed. I don't know if you got enough information, staff, from that discussion to craft a condition.
Yes, I think I've got it. Thank you.
And just for clarification, if the motion included the approval and the environmental document as the first action item on the I wasn't sure what I heard. So just to clarify, that includes the environmental approval as well.
Yeah, the first item A was for the environmental approval, yeah. So just to clarify then, with regards to item E, which would be the design review, we're going to does it need to be a condition, or how would that work with regards to coming up with a particular tree species that, you know, grows quickly and provides adequate screening, and then also the issue of the roofing?
So we would add a condition for the roof materials to provide some flexibility to include metal panel roof styles in the mix, unless you'd like to specify only metal panel at this point. What I heard was to allow flexibility for the applicant to work with staff. So we will add that language. And then as far as either additional or possibly different species of screening trees along the southeast border adjacent to the residences on Zion Court, we'll work with the landscape architect and or the applicant to make sure those are fast growing and full screening trees that will provide additional privacy.
Okay, so I'll continue here, and hopefully I capture that correctly for item E. So move to approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland recommending approval of a general plan amendment to change land uses from retail commercial to high-density residential and from retail commercial to recreation conservation, South Whitney Mixed-Use Townhomes and Medical Center, GPA 2015-0001. And item C, move to approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland recommending an approval of a general development plan and a rezone from retail business to multifamily residential and open area, South Whitney Mixed-Use Townhomes and Medical Office Center, PDG 2015-0005, and Z 2014-0009. And item D, move to approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland recommending approval of a tentative parcel map, South Whitney Mixed-Use Townhomes and Medical Center, DL 2015-0001. And item E, with conditions that the applicant work with city staff to select a tree species that meets the criteria discussed here today, as well as allowing for roof variety being the metal panel roofs and also comp shingle. We move to approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland recommending approval of a design review for multifamily residential homes and an oak tree preservation permit, South Whitney Mixed-Use Townhomes and Medical Center, DR 2014-0016 and TRE 2015-0009.
Okay, is a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Can I make a comment, please? I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
I'm Edie Boyd, and I live on Zion Court. I've lived there since 1967. My property backs right up to the 100-year floodplain and the conservation area. Now, when I look at these pictures, it looks to me like there is no way that those buildings are going to fit on that short piece of property going back toward the creek. Are they going to have to extend that and push more dirt in there and make more of a place to build? Which would really impact me. I am right at the level of the floodplain. My swimming pool and is right outside the fence, and during 1987-88 when we had the flood, the flood was right up to the bottom of my chain link fence.
Let me, if I'm correct, this was a recommendation to the council. Is that correct? The Planning Commission has contemplated everything, opened it up to public for comment. Uh-huh. We went through that whole process, and you didn't ask us these questions.
Okay.
So I would continue to work with staff between now and the city council meeting to make sure that you understand and have your questions answered.
Yeah.
And if necessary, you could attend the council meeting.
With all due respect to you people who can hear well, I've had a hard time hearing anything that you've said. I've had to listen and listen hard, but I've missed a lot. But nonetheless, I'm concerned about how far back they're going to have to go.
And understood. It looks understood.
To me like they're going, and these people in these apartments, two or three stories high, going to be looking right down in my property.
Please contact the planning staff, and they'll be able to answer your questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that takes us to non-public hearing items. Item 8, presentations or informational items. Anything from staff?
Just informational. This time, our next scheduled meeting would be July 19th. We don't have anything scheduled for June 21st or July 5th. The noticing time has passed for the June 21st. It's unlikely we'll have anything for July 5th. If anything should change, we'll let you know as soon as possible. We do have items for July 19th. At this time, we're looking at possibly a general development plan and amendment for Northwest Rockland, Whitney Ranch, and a parcel map at William Jessup University. There may be other items, but that's what we're looking at right now. Also, just informationally, since our last meeting, there's been a number of changes in our personnel and our staff in the department. Travis Jacobs, the assistant planner that presented to you a few meetings ago, decided not to continue his employment with the city. As a result, we chose to reclassify one of our building planning techs, Shauna Naumann, who has an extensive planning background, and raise her up to fill that role. We think she's going to do really well at it. Unfortunately, until we get fully staffed, she's going to have to continue to perform the planning tech duties with Dara's assistance so that we can keep things moving. But we have interviews scheduled for two new building planning techs, one of whom we'll share with engineering to help them out. And that's scheduled for next week, so we hope to have somebody selected and offer those positions soon. And then just last week and Monday, we held interviews and second interviews for an associate planner to fill our other opening. Our top candidate has preliminarily accepted our offer of employment, pending clearing the background and health checks with HR. And so if all goes well, we hope to have him on board in July sometime. So we're looking at for the possibility of being fully staffed for the first time in quite some time.
All right,
in the near future.
I go back just for one moment. So if we're going to have, sounds like maybe some ongoing discussions about the Whitney Ranch area, do we want to make sure we follow up and maybe answer or have a presentation on this discussion of, you know, the development of the open space in that particular one? It was voiced here early on by that time.
So in my opinion would be, you know, once a project's approved, it's sort of like a code enforcement issue. Is it following what was approved or not? And so what we're going to do is Dave Palmer and I are going to sit down. We have a copy of their letter. And so we're going to review all of the concerns that they've raised as it pertains to the construction of this project. We'll go out on site. We'll meet with the developer. We'll inspect it. We'll ask the developer if they're willing to make any considerations to try to be a good neighbor and see what we can work through there. We certainly can update you at a meeting or if you like an email correspondence that just kind of keeps you informed of where things are at. In terms of the question about modifying the definition of open space, I think that's a little bit longer. I mean, we can get in another meeting, come back on that one.
Yeah, I think that's perfect, Mark. I think you know, it sounds like, you know, because this project is tied to somehow the development that's going on with Whitney Ranch, probably just an email correspondence of something of that matter that says, you know, code enforcement has, you know, followed up or city staff has followed up and here's, you know, the results of that, I think would be fine. That way we're not having to revisit, I think, some of those issues at that particular meeting. The issue of open space, I agree with you, is sort of an independent issue, and that can, you know, be, I'm sure, much longer, much more detailed, you know, ensuing conversation that may happen over time.
Agreed. Okay. Anything else from staff? No. Anything from planning commissioners? Any reports or anything?
I do have one question. I know I see there's some, I'll say, remodeling going on of the Arby's down here on Rockland Road. I know that's part of the borrow zone again, probably similar to what we saw with the Taco Bell. It seems to me that maybe on some of the borrow zone elements that maybe there's either a presentation or some update that staff can give from time to time about, you know, the decisions that have been made. I realize we don't have any jurisdiction there, but sometimes it's helpful to know sort of what's going on within those zones because that may influence, you know, either our questions or questions that we're answering within the community, that sort of thing. I don't think we need to address that here tonight, but just something maybe to consider in the future. If we could, you know, maybe, I don't think it needs to be a detailed presentation, but just a heads up, you know, staff worked with this particular property owner and, you know, you're going to be seeing some changes, you know, at this location, that location, et cetera.
Would you like to be forwarded? We generate an approval for mm-hmm. borrow zones. Would you like to just be emailed those approvals so you're aware of what's been approved?
That's fine. I mean, for it's a good point. I think whatever is easiest for staff, it's just to kind of be in the loop when staff level decisions are being made that are noticeable.
That would be a very easy thing for us to do if that would be helpful for you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And that actually brings up something I noticed a couple last week on the old Broadstone apartments on Sunset, between like the Bel Air Shopping Center. Did that get repainted? It looks very light in color. Maybe take a look at it.
We can take a look at
it
that.
It looks very
They don't typically need to necessarily come back to us for repainting only, but we'll take a look and see what went on.
But I think the design review dictates, you know, the color palette. I mean, it's like really different. It was, you know, greens and reds and yellows, and now it's like white and ivory and really light. Beige is
it primer?
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, just a thought, because that's a pretty big project, you know, that fronts on Sunset. Okay, so I will adjourn the meeting. We're done.